Please be seated.
All right, Kingdom Kids. If you haven't noticed, we're using the Word and explaining and teaching to try to understand more about God's kingdom. So we have our Kingdom Kids, we got Kingdom Men, we got Kingdom Women. That are all about God's kingdom. And we've been explaining and looking in God's word, what is kingdom in the first place? But it's a realm or a domain of rule. It's where you're allowing God to rule. And if we're going to be kingdom men, kingdom kids, and kingdom women, then we allow God rule within us. And then he is the one that guides our decisions, our way of living, our speech, our thoughts, our passions, our mission, and what we do in life. And he receives all the glory. And so that's what we've been looking at, and we've been really trying to dissect again what it means to live in his kingdom, because if we're going to build his kingdom amongst this church family and to reach out to bring other people into that kingdom, into that rule, you have to be a kingdom dweller before you can ever have the passion to do the kingdom outreach. And you got to be somebody who is having that relationship with God, seeing the benefits in it, seeing even the struggles and the difficult in it, so that you will be able to be a witness to the teachings of God, to God's rule in your life. That's where we have to rise up with God and rise and form a united spirit here among us, that we're not going to agree on every little detail or every little tradition, but traditions and little details are not what matters. We need to get out of trying to feel like we have to have our way of church to make sure that we are allowing to become the church that God intends us to be. We got to make the main thing the main thing. And that is God's kingdom rule in our life. So we've been examining some passages how to do that. Because if we're going to have his kingdom be built here, we've looked at a song. I'm not sharing that with you this morning, but we'll look at it again. It's called Build Your Kingdom Here. It's an expression to the Lord. But I first want to make a kind of an announcement that I haven't got in here, but we just came off of remembering the blood of Jesus. And sometimes that can be a ritualistic cliche, you know, and talk about it. But, you know, blood is important. It's life. It's what causes us to be able to function and to be able to live. And it's very important. And we need to see it on the spiritual side. But also, one of the things is that about 8 years ago, I believe is about where we're at right now, God could have decided to take our Megan, she's sitting right there in the aisle, and he could have taken care of her for eternity and had her in his loving arms, but I pleaded to God that if it would just be his will, I would like to take care of her more. Give me some more time. He's given me 8 more years, but she needed blood to be able to survive and to be able to pull through. And one of the things that I believe is ministry and is one way that we can show our community and invite our community to participate in us is Jimmy's been putting together this hey, why don't we do a blood drive for our community in Megan's name? We call it Purple Sunday because I got to pick her favorite color when she was born. And that's coming up again. And she wanted to make sure, Jimmy wanted to make sure you understood it's in the bulletin, but the sign-up sheet needs to be signed up for. We know that different people can give blood and other people can't. But you could be there to encourage. And if you could sign up for that and get on the schedule, hopefully we can get past our about around 20 is what they'd like to have just to come here. And we'd like to get up a little bit further. So if you can give blood, at least assist in bringing life to a person who needs that. Who knows? Who knows where they need to live a little longer to be able to meet Jesus. And God may send somebody to them during that time. So if you can contribute in that way, that would be really, really helpful. We've been talking about the birth of Christ in our life, and where does that start? We're not shying away from the subject of baptism because we see so much in God's Word by demonstration, but also in teaching of what is going to take care of our sin. What's going to help us live a new life? When people are cut because they find out that their sin is the reason why Jesus had to come to earth, I don't know about you, but I have a feeling when we get to heaven, if God would say, you need to go back to earth, we wouldn't want to go. But God was willing to send his one and only son down here and watch what went on to be able to allow us to hear the temptation and to take the temptation of the evil one and hear Jesus' teaching and be able to be led away from what separates us from God. God created us to have a relationship with him, and sin had separated that. And all of us here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we needed to somehow get back to God. And so Jesus came to fill in that gap, to show us the road. And so last week we started looking at a road. We're on a journey. If you don't see it, I hope you can see where your journey's at. We're on a journey in this life. We only have one journey. That's only how many times we get a shot at this. And we need to make sure that every day is as important to us as it is to God. And that our decisions and who are we becoming. Are we true disciples? Are we connected so much to Jesus that the bloodline comes from him to give us life? Not that we just rely on him for a couple of things. We rely on Jesus when we're in trouble. We rely on Jesus when I want some things. But do we rely on Jesus every day of our life and have him be a part of that? Last week, and that's why I had Blake read again, I wanted you to hear again this encounter that Philip had with an Ethiopian, because it was the Ethiopian's beginning. It's the beginning of his kingdom. And so we're all going down a road, and this was his road to Gaza. He was leaving Jerusalem because he had went to Jerusalem to worship God. But he was heading back home. Now, why is that important? I think sometimes what we forget is there's a reason why to come here, be together, praise the Lord. And we worship God together, but we leave here to go worship him every day. And so the Ethiopian, you know, it's like going to a grand rally with the Lord, and you got other believers there, and yeah, that's right, Jesus is Lord, and you get kind of filled back up, and you kind of realize that, but then you got to go back home. You got to go back to everyday life. You got to go back to the same neighbors, the same co-workers. If God is not ruling in our life, then we're not going to change to be the new people that we could leave here being every time we come together. We need built up. We need edified. But also, we need to go out and shine. Jesus said, don't hide the light of me that lives in you. No city on a hill cannot be hidden. Go out there and let it shine. And let it affect our world. So here's the Ethiopian. He's gone back home, but he's reading Scripture. So I wrote some things down just so that we won't have to spend a whole lot of time on it. But I want you to examine this, like the Bereans, to find out if you see some of the things that we're reading about, and compare it and look at that, your life. Put yourself in the place of the Ethiopian. Put yourself in the place of Philip. And say, is God using me like Philip? But first of all, the Ethiopian. Here's what I saw in the Ethiopian. He desired to worship God. He wanted to be there. I don't know, Bob, do you know how far of a journey that was from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship? Okay, all right. That's just not to leave down here. We think Morganton's far, right? This was a far journey. Okay, but it's to be in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of other believers. And then you take the Lord back with you to be in the presence of your everyday life. And he had the Scriptures open. I don't know about you, but how many of you get so eagerly after we have a time together to where you just got to get in the Word again? I can't get enough of the Word. It's my inspiration. God is my rule. I want to get to know Him more. I want to get to know Jesus more. I want to get excited about what we're doing here as a church family. Churches go to sleep. Churches need to be woke up. And because Satan will try to damper everything about our joy of our salvation to where we feel like it just is meaningless anymore. But this guy traveled so far, desired to worship God, heading back home, eagerly searching the Scriptures, even though he did not understand them. What was the last time that you just say, I don't understand what this is saying, and just close your Bible? You read because it's God's Word. God will send somebody, or you can go seek after somebody to say, I need some help here. What's he want me to see? What's he trying to tell me personally? When you seek advice, that's God moving. That's a desire that you might have. He was open to be taught what the Scripture meant. That's why the Spirit led Philip. You need to go, because Philip was going. He was going to go preach the good news. But God knew that there was one person that needed the Scriptures explained to him. And so he sends Philip to go and be and just go right alongside of this person. Then this person invites him in. Come and explain it to me. And then he responds to the good news of Jesus. What's so great is he's studying Isaiah 53, and Philip just started there to tell him about Jesus. You can go to any passage in Scripture and find a way back to Jesus. You can always do that. You can say, well, what's the book of Numbers? All right, you're reading down through all there. That meant people. That mean God wanted to have a relationship with him. And how does God want to have a relationship with us today? It's in through Jesus Christ, who he sent, his one and only Son. For God so loved the world that he gave him to us. You can lead numbers back to Jesus. You can leave anything. Don't throw away your Old Testament. Use it to lead people to Jesus. And then when you got Jesus, you start telling them about the good news. Now, one of the things about the Ethiopian, I want to make sure, and I didn't put this down here. Definitely, he requested, he saw enough water somewhere along the teaching line about Jesus. Philip explained to the Ethiopian, this is where you begin with him. This is where you can connect with him. This is where you bury the old life and come up out of the new. Because he would have never asked the question about, here's enough water, what keeps me from being baptized? And so, he asks the question. Both Philip and him goes down into the water. Philip is taken away. And then what does Scripture tell us about the Ethiopian? Help me out. He went on rejoicing. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but doesn't that just speak sometimes to all of us that we need to be revived in our salvation? How do you react to your salvation? How do you respond to it? Don't mean a whole lot. Or do you rejoice? Rejoicing will allow you to witness to some people. From what I understand, where the Ethiopian was from, still to today, they are very favorable to Jesus' teaching in the region that he lived. I wonder who started that. I wonder if somebody's noticed something a little bit. Where in the world have you been? I went to Jerusalem. Well, you've been to Jerusalem before. You never came back like that. Yeah, but I found out about Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you about him. Here's what he's done for all of us. And it'll go from generation to generation to generation. When people are excited about their salvation, you can't keep shut. You can't. Because you understand you were doomed without it. You're destroyed without it. But he sent his one and only Son. And it started a birth of Jesus' spirit in the Ethiopian to go on rejoicing because of it began at his baptism. Philip was obedient to the command to go and be a messenger. How many of us, I know, not all of us are preachers, not all of us are evangelists, but I tell you one thing, all of us can be a witness. All you have to do is just say how happy I am for my salvation, and here's the reason why. If you can't do that, go back and examine, where's your joy? Because our joy should be in our salvation, even if you sin. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Even though that he'd done something very, very wrong before God. Philip was obedient to be a messenger. So don't look at us funny, and don't be totally intimidated. Please, I'll try to do my best not to be intimidating, but I do want to be pleading that all of us can team up together and be a great witness for Jesus Christ and allow God to build his kingdom here. If you need encouragement to go and be a witness, then we need encouragement. If you need teaching. But the thing is, Jesus never forced anybody to follow him. He just asked. And when you truly believe that Jesus is the only way to God, I believe you'll follow. No matter how hard it gets. So let's make the main thing the main thing. Philip was obedient to the Spirit's direction. We're going to hear more about the Spirit. Asked if needed. He asked if the Ethiopian needed assistance in understanding the scripture. He invested time. I mean, I can imagine. Here's what I did this week. I looked at it. If I'm Philip, what would be the things that would hinder me, not from the same perspective as the Ethiopian, and what would hinder him to be baptized, but what would hinder me to keep from going along the chariot? He invested time. The Bible doesn't say how long of a journey they were on until they reached the water. But what if Philip was in today's world? Come on, don't you got it yet? I got a schedule. I got to get going. I got something on TV I got to watch. I got to be here. I got to be there. I got to be here. You know, come on. Don't you get it? Until the point that you start, instead of persuading people with Jesus, you start to push them to match your time frame. Jesus never pushed anybody to follow him. He asked. And when they believed, they dropped what they were doing and started following. So work on the belief. Be a witness. If we need instruction how to do that, we can do that. But we don't need to be robots. We just need to share the joy of our salvation. Put it into words. Okay, now I want to get to the road to Damascus. This is where you can feel. What do we learn from two men that's here? Go to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read the first 18 verses. Acts chapter 9. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord." The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Kind of appropriate. And asked for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority of the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man's my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. What do we learn from Ananias here? What's this have to do with the kingdom of God here? Well, you got one in the kingdom, like Philip, reaching out to one that has not yet understood about Jesus and how God can rule through him. Now we have Ananias, and now we have Saul. Well, Saul was called by the Lord to go lay hands. It's a way that God chose to communicate to Ananias to restore his sight. But put yourself in Ananias' position. I think I would have too, but have been hesitant. I've heard about this guy. Yeah, I know what he's doing to your saints. Wait a minute. You're asking me to go to him and restore his sight? He's already gotten authority from the chief priests. And what his goal is he going to throw us all in prison? Because not only men he was throwing into prison, he was throwing women into prison too. Just for saying that they believed in Jesus Christ. I know what he's done. It's kind of amazing. Our reluctance to share the good news of Jesus Christ usually comes from our fear of other people's past. We would not see Ananias or see Saul's possibility of ever changing if we stayed looking in the past. One thing great about our God is God wants to get us to repent of our past and forgive us of our past and forget our past so that he can start molding us into his future. I know what he's done. But I tell you what, I'm going to choose him as an instrument to go to the Gentiles. And yes, he will understand my suffering because of what he's going to have to go through. Ananias was reluctant. But when the Lord said, go, he goes. Now, church, when the Lord tells us to go, what's our answer going to be? We're not alone. We're in this thing together. God, first of all, is right there with us everywhere we go. God's even given you, as a baptized believer, the gift of the Holy Spirit. What? For what reason? To remember the teachings of Jesus so you can use them to share your joy in your salvation. You don't have to point fingers about people's past. You need to give them hope for the future. You want a new life? You keep coming. You want a changed life? You hook on to Jesus' teaching and never let go. Come and follow. I don't need all that religion. You know, when people come up to me, they say, I'm not a religious guy. And I said, I don't want to be either. You're a preacher. You got to be religious. No, not man-made religion. I'm done with that. I don't want a man-made religion. I don't want man-made just things and to where I can check off and feel good about myself because I got something done. A relationship with God changes our lives and will shine to help other people be able to find a way to change theirs. It's all in the good news. We just need to know what to do with good news. From what I understand, Ananias was told go. He was reluctant because of the past, but God told him, look, I've got a future plan. You go, so he goes. He loved his enemy. Saul was like an enemy. He even placed hands on his enemy so that healing could happen. If I was blinded, you know, I expect somebody that's an enemy of me to come over to me and lay their gentle hands on me to be healed? If I would have cast all those people into prison, do I expect anybody to come to my rescue? When you're in God's kingdom, you become rescuers of all, no matter what of their past. He gave instructions to his enemy. And Saul was instructed to get up and be baptized and believe and become a follower. He met Jesus on the road. I thought it was amazing how the light in this whole thing was around blindness and sight. And started to realize Saul was blind spiritually way before he was ever blind physically. Jesus is trying to say, look, I'm going to bring a restoration to your spiritual sight, so that you can see what the kingdom of God is like. Part of it's going to be suffering in my name, but it's because he suffered for us. Saul was determined to destroy Jesus' teaching by making followers suffer. He made prisoners of the people of the way. Have you ever wondered why it's described in Scripture here the way? It's because what was being spread by the followers of Jesus is that Jesus taught them he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get back to the Father except through him. So those people of the way. That's who I'm going to throw in. The only way. And you're going to hear all different things, and we can get equipped and we can get prepared. And I pray that I've laid the precedence that we don't need to argue with people about Jesus. We just need to believe in Jesus and share the good news. We don't need to argue about baptism. We don't need to push people into baptism. All we need to say is that here is Jesus, believe in him, now watch him. What's he saying to you? How's he communicating to you? I think eventually they'll come through instruction, if they're like the Ethiopian, they'll come to the point to where you can explain to them that God wants to give you a new life through Jesus Christ. And the way to connect with him is by being buried in water for repentance and forgiveness. But now in Jesus, you're going to be born of the Spirit. And we're going to get into, Lord's willing, weeks to come, about when we make it an and or about the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God in our life. We will not be a changed people without him. And so it's important. You may have been buried in water, but have you been born of the Spirit? Have you truly repented? Do you really understand you need forgiveness? Well, that's the beginning. And the only thing I can say, too, is have the same question as the Ethiopian. Then what is hindering me? All I want you to do, if you haven't been baptized into Christ and you're here this morning within this message, just ask God to help you identify what is keeping you from it. It is a commitment, it is a devotion, and you need to make it sure that is understood. But if, as we're learning, it's your new beginning, and then you'll receive the gift. Saul, once he called on Jesus as Lord and believed in his name, power came to his life. Shipwrecks happen, floggings happen, isolated, being bit by snakes happen. Whatever happened to Saul did not matter, because the good news of Jesus Christ was the only thing that did. He was convicted. He spent 3 days in mourning and prayer. And he repented, he was baptized, he was forgiven, and he was filled with the Spirit to start a new life. All you have to do is examine his writings and just listen to Paul share with you his new life. And it's the greatest life to live. So, building our kingdom here, we're on a road. We're on a road to Gaza. We're on the road to Damascus. You're on a journey. Make sure Jesus is a part of it. And then when he says go, we'll go. If you need to bring any requests, we'll receive those now. We're going to talk about, sing about the power of the blood. Wow, inappropriate. And so have that in your life, have that in your thoughts. If you need more instruction, we're here to teach. And if you need to respond.